Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey.
Two wise women. J. Dill. Yeah. Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar.
Good evening, and welcome to the show. We are two wise women. I am Jay Dia of You Are Worthy.
And I am Dr. Lamar with The Wives, Inc.
And we want to thank you for joining us tonight. We have an awesome show here tonight. We have a live panel of husbands or that will be talking about their experience, the marriage experience. I came across this quote the other day that I want to share because it speaks volumes and ties into our topic for tonight's show. So the quote is, men, marriage is the biggest commitment of their life. As one man put it, nothing affects your life more than the person you choose to share it with. Nothing, not your work, your health, or your money. And this is a thing that we want to really help men and women to understand. Because one of the things that we realize is that happily married men tend not to talk that much. They may
That's
tell
true.
One or two people. But an unhappily married man, he gets around. He's complaining and talking and well, this is a grown and sexy show, and bitching about how unhappy he is. As a matter of fact, you would think he's the representative of married men. You would think he's the sports person for married men. But here's the thing. Marriage has been statistically proven married men tend to live longer. There are a whole lot of benefits to being married. And so that's what we really want to talk about, because sometimes I believe when people know better, they can choose better. And I think what's missing is what is the benefit to marriage? What is it that would cause a man to commit to something that's going to impact his life on a huge level? Dr. Lamar,
you know what, add anything to that? Absolutely. I'm actually sitting over here laughing because you're absolutely right. Statistic shows that men live longer, they live a healthier life, but women die faster. And it was funny because a friend of mine sent me a picture of her grandparents, and they've been married for like almost 60-something years. And the first picture of them, they had to have been about, I don't know, young, 15, 16, and they were both smiling. And then there was another picture, and had been about 30 years later. The lady wasn't smiling, but the husband was smiling. And then they just sent another picture, you know, then it was another picture where it's like they were celebrating their 70-year anniversary, and neither of them were smiling. And it was so funny because marriage is a good thing. However, it can be very taxing. And it was just funny how you mentioned how men view marriage and how they speak of marriage in a negative way, and the ones that are happy don't really talk about it as much. So as J.D. had mentioned, I am so excited. We have a panel of men on the line tonight. Some are married. A few of them are not married. So we'll be able to get the perspective, you know, just how they feel about marriage or what their experience was on marriage. So, yeah, I just want to share that piece.
Thank you. So I want to kick it off with this one question, because I'm often, because I hear more men that are not happily married, and even when a man says, I'm getting married, you get this chorus of what you want to do that for. So share with us, what surprised you the most about being married? Hello? Husband, yes. Okay, great. There you go.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was for me. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's for you.
Okay, can you repeat the question, please?
Absolutely. What surprised you the most about being married?
Surprised me the most. Hold on a second. Trying to get to it. Honestly, I'd have to say the comfort that it was, because I was kind of one of those guys that kind of went in with the woe is me kind of attitude, like you guys spoke of a second ago, you know, with how society looked, well, men look at marriages nowadays. But I was actually surprised at how much I actually enjoyed being married. So I guess I was more surprised on a good note.
Wow.
And what was it that caused you to enjoy being married?
Well, just the family. You know, we had the woman I married, we had a child at the time. Just the whole family atmosphere every day. The I guess just the companionship. You know, the everyday companionship was there, and I think part of it was just the knowing that, I don't know, kind of like this ain't so bad, you know, this ain't what everybody was kind of telling you about it, you know, so I kind of enjoyed that, you know, that surprise aspect of it.
Okay, awesome. So, one of the things that, what I'm hearing you say is that you weren't expecting to enjoy it. Like,
right.
And so that, would you say that created a hesitation on your part about even doing it?
Definitely, definitely. It was more of a, like you said, how society looks at it, you know, when I see, say, men and women, you know, just, at my job in particular, I know this young lady, she's about to get married, and it's all joyous and congratulations, and girl, you know, that's good. I'm so happy for you, this and that. And then a couple of doors down, it's a guy, and he's talking about getting married, and he's going through the woe. He's in a whole different, you know, like, man, you like you kind of said earlier, you know, you sure you want to do it? You know, kind of like it's a life sentence. You sure? You want to do that right now? You know, you're so young and, you know, kind of stuff like that. I never heard, rarely heard someone ask a woman, are you sure this is what you want to do? Unless there's some type of, you know, hesitation with the guy, you know, like maybe this guy got some problems kind of coming in with problems already. Then they do ask the lady, are you sure, honey, this is what you want to do? You know, kind of as a warning kind of thing. But guys get it just for, you know, just for general purpose, just, are you sure, you know? And it could be because maybe they want to know if the guy really think he's ready or not.
Mm. So, oh, wow. That's a good point.
That is true, because I do notice, and Dr. Lamar, you tell me if you've noticed this, whenever a woman announces that she's getting married, we applaud. You know, there are all these congratulations. But then
right.
I've been around when a woman going, I'm engaged, and then everyone go, ah! There's all this excitement.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny that you say that, J.D., because I want you to share with our audience what I say when women say that they're getting married. I think marriage is a wonderful thing, but if you're not prepared and then you're entering into something with one eye, one leg, three fingers, and half of a brain. It's almost like committing suicide because you will die, literally. Now, that was a joke, but no, seriously, if you're not prepared, then it will compromise your happiness. It'll compromise your safety. And so I tell women when they say, you know, girl, we engaged, we getting married, and my first question to them is, are you ready? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? Do you know what marriage, how should your marriage look like? And so that's always my conversation when women say that they're getting married, because it's a good thing, but it can be very challenging sometimes.
Can I chime in?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think what you said is absolutely right. I think most people, including myself, you know, went in just almost kind of not knowing what to expect. It's a lot of things need to be discussed, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
before you get married. I mean, it's so many little things that kind of come up, you know, when you're married or when you're living with someone that you just never think that this would even be a factor kind of thing. Because we kind of assume that, and I think the problem is that we don't communicate enough. Most of the time is we assume that she knows these things already, or she assumes that, well, he knows that. You know, he knows, let's just use the toilet seat. You know, he knows he's supposed to leave the toilet seat down, you know. And he said, well, she knows she's supposed to, you know, lift it up, or she's supposed to, you know, I don't know, like, you know, just some of the regular, you know, generalized things that we hear all the time in couples. And you really don't know. It's a lot of small things that we should talk about before we get married. And that kind of becomes huge, you know, because when you get married, you know, you pretty much put a magnifying glass on all those little problems that you had. Now they become amplified. And now they, you know, these huge problems that, like, you know, where did this come from? Oh, this person changed. No, they didn't. You know, you just never talked about it before you got married.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That is absolutely a good point. Yeah, I totally
mm-hmm.
agree. And I'm going to put this out here. We have a lot of callers tonight, and if we have any men on the line that would like to chime in, if you're married, if you've been married, press 1, and I'll get you in and get your question and or comment.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. Because the thing that I noticed, there's this really great book that talks about lives at the altar. And there are things that we don't talk about that we think. We make this assumption. So there are a lot of people who do the traditional vows. And one of the things that it says in sickness and in health, and most people will say yes. Yes, I will take him in sickness and in health. But what they're not really saying is, unless you don't take care of yourself, like unless you gain 300, 400 pounds, then I'm out, because there you get these ailments once your weight gets too high, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart condition, all that. So people will leave. And so we're not having these discussions that we need to have.
Absolutely. And what about the vow for better or for worse? I think it's so important for couples to be able to talk about, what does worse look like for you? I was working with a couple one time, and the lady was like, my worst is him being unemployed. And I was like, wow, that's an option. Like, that's real. And the man needed to know that her worst for her relationship was being unemployed. And, you know, oftentimes in the African-American community, being unemployed sometimes is an option, more so than for other individuals within their community. But he needed to know that, and she needed to be able to communicate that to him. I feel she, you know, needed to think and process, was that a realistic worth for her? But different people have different words. Sometimes people say a cheat, or sometimes people say abuse, or if you get on drugs, or, you know, some type of physical abuse against another person or something like that. But people need to have that conversation, what worse is, because better is automatic. When things are good, that's fine. But it's when stuff get hard, and like I explained to all couples, you will have some hard times. You will experience challenging times in your relationship, and how can you work through those? And, you know, how can you work forward when you're going through a challenging time? So I think we don't have those conversations oftentimes as husbands and wives. And,
absolutely. I agree with you, and it's just like Coke is saying. And it can be simple things like how many children we want to have and when will we even start having children and will I stop working when I have the children? How long will I stay away from work? I have a good friend, and she didn't return to work until her son was 5 years old because she wanted him to stay at – she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. But it's like, was that even discussed before they got married? I even had a client who he got married, and he married his wife because she was making six figures, and he was making six figures. And as soon as she got married, within 3 months, she quit her job. And he was like, how could she do that? And I was like, I don't know. But he's thinking, but it was something they didn't discuss. She didn't discuss, as soon as we get married, I'm quitting. I'm tired.
Right.
You got
and he felt blindsided, I'm sure.
I can imagine that he did.
You know what?
Yes.
No, I was going to say, I'm sorry, when Cook said he felt blindsided, he felt betrayed. He felt
exactly.
like she had betrayed him. And so to him, he couldn't trust her. Now, I don't know them personally, but I'm just giving, you know, my perspective on the situation. And he probably felt like, you know, he couldn't trust her. And how dare you? And we never had this conversation. But these are the conversations that we need to have with one another. And sometimes we don't even think to have them because we don't even think that they'll happen.
Correct.
Yeah, it's like you don't know what to ask. Like, there should be some general questions to ask, and I think sometimes people don't know what to ask until it happens. But here's the thing that I do hear a lot. As a matter of fact, they did this survey where they asked men and women, if they had to choose and they could only choose one, would they choose love or respect?
Mm.
And men chose respect and women chose love. And that surprised me. That, like, why would a man choose respect over love? And it went on to say that for a woman, she automatically assumes that if he loves her, that the respect will be there. And for a man, he assumes that if she respects him, that the love is going to be there. But a man will choose respect. So that leads me to my next question, which is, how difficult is it to lead when a wife is disrespectful or controlling? And what would you label as disrespectful behavior?
Good question.
Well, my opinion, disrespect is a huge umbrella as far as I'm concerned, and everybody's different. But I guess to me, because the way I treat people, you know, I try not to well talk. I guess I just say, you know, crazy people. I don't belittle people. I'm not condescending at all. I always have to try to listen. You know, someone come to me with a problem, whatever, I always try to listen to what they have to say. I'm a good listener, okay? And to me, like, disrespect can be you're just not even – you're not trying to listen or you're hearing, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. Condescending, I don't like that. I don't like to be try to be made to look stupid. You know, that's a big thing with me, you know. Like anything that's going to kind of make me see, like, maybe I don't, he don't know what he's talking about. He's dumb, you know, this and that. I don't like that, you know. And I think a lot of this kind of comes from your, the way you were brought up. You know, that was a big thing in my household, a big thing in my neighborhood. You know, everyone tried to pride themselves on being intelligent, you know, or trying to become intelligent. So, to call someone dumb or talk to someone as they were stupid, you know, was a big thing with me. So that's very disrespectful to me.
Okay.
To some people, some guys or some women, you know, it's not a big thing to them, but that's a big one to me. That's huge,
gotcha.
Matter of fact.
It's a huge. Well, you know, I have another question, and I get this a lot. I hear a lot of different perspectives on what women say men want, and we rarely hear what it is that men want. And I've heard this so many times. Food, what is it? the way that you get to a man's heart is through his stomach. So all men want women that can cook. So you know what? If you learn how to cook, you'll definitely be able to win over a man. And I think sometimes that compromises how we relate when we're trying to, you know, get into a relationship with the man because we're thinking we need to be able to cook. But that may not be a need of his. He may want you to be able to provide something else. And so with that being said, you're not providing a need that he needs. And so I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, Mr. Cook. And I want you to put these in order because women say, you know, girl, I put it on him. I'm, you know, this the best sex he's ever had. And I've, you know, shared with women, men don't necessarily marry the best sex. Now, I'm not saying sex isn't important, but I'm not saying that that has to be one on the list. But guess what? I'm not a man. So I would like to ask you if you can put these in order. If I'm going to give you three words, and if you can put them in order. Put them in order for us and kind of tell us why. Sex, respect, and being able to cook. Put them in order and kind of tell us why.
Okay, number one would definitely be respect.
Okay.
Okay. Because kind of like what I just explained, that's huge for me. If you don't respect me, I kind of maybe I respect equated with love a little bit. You know, it could be possible. But if respect is big to me, I just think it's just the way of the world. I think we all need to respect each other. You know, if you don't respect me, I just can't deal with it. I don't deal with anybody that's respecting me. People ask me all the time, how are they treating you? I always say, well, how I allow them to treat me. You know, that's it. I'm going to respect you. You're going to respect me no matter what. Number two would be sex. Sex is high up there, but sex is definitely very, very, very important in a relationship. Okay, maybe more so intimacy than sex, I should say.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, people kind of, you know, I kind of label them together because there's a lot of times, I mean, just the cuddling, the touching, you know, just the intimacy and stuff like that is at sometimes just as important as sex. Okay, because we know, let's be honest, guys can have sex with anybody and not attach any kind of feelings to it whatsoever. You know,
wow.
And some women can. I don't want to just say guys, but some women can as well, you know. And so that's high up there is definitely a need. And the last one was as far as cooking goes, what's my last name? Exactly.
Cook.
Yeah. I had to think about it. I mean, nowadays, I look at cooking more as opposed to, like, back in the days, you know, the heydays that you had to know how to cook and blah, blah, blah. But to me, in the modern family, it just means provide food and substance for your family.
Wow.
You know, because in my household now, you know, the situation, the girlfriend, my fiance, because of her job, I do more of the cooking, and I don't mind doing it. You know, I'm here with the kids. We get here earlier than she does, so I do the majority of the cooking because we got to eat something, and I've always been a cooker, though. So that's not a big deal with me. But here's the thing, you know, be able to provide, you don't have to cook, you know. Stop somewhere and pick something up. You know, now, like I said, it's different now. You know, back in the day, you had to cook something. You didn't have, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken or go to Kroger's and get a ready-made meal, you know, it's probably come out better just buying that for 10, 15 bucks than it would come home and slave over a stove. So I think that providing the food is definitely important as well.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, respect, sex, and cooking.
Well, good. So we have another gentleman on the phone, and I want to chime in. Jordan?
Hey,
I don't know if you just heard the question that I asked, and Cook just explained to us, and he was to put three things in order, and they were sex, respect, and cooking. And so are cooking or any kind of chore around the house doesn't necessarily have to be cooking. And I wanted to know from you, we want you to put those three in order and tell us why.
So I'm agree with the brother, previous to me. I would go with respect first. You got to respect each other. If you don't respect each other, the other two is not even going to matter. So they're not going to, you know, fall in line. So the respect has to be there. There has to be some sort of, you know, a line drawn, you know, where, you know, everybody's on the same page. So the respect is definitely the number one, you know, within that order. Sex is, I would equate sex with as if you're younger. You know, I'm an older guy now. So, you know, sex is it's good. I mean, especially when you first meet the person. You know, sex need to be, you know, out of the park. You know, I need to be seeing stars and you know, and diamonds flowing out. You know, I just need it all. But as you go along, you know, you kind of settle in. And, you know, it's not as really as important as it is if I was like 30. Now, if I was 30, you know, back in my heyday, you know, then that would be different. But, you know, as I'm a mature man now, you know, sex is important, though. Don't get me wrong. Sex is important. And then you have cooking. Cooking is, it's not, you know, it's not really, it's not a make or break deal, you know, because I can microwave my food, so it doesn't really matter, you know. It's not really a deal breaker. You know, if you can cook, that's cool. If you can't, you know, I'm not going to really hold that against you. As long as the first two are, you know, right there, then the third one really doesn't, you know, really doesn't have to be as important to me. But if you can respect me and you good in the bed, man, the cooking is out there. We can go to McDonald's every night. I would care less. You know? Would care less, you know. Just the first two and the less. So that's all I'm going to say on that, because I know Sister give you only 2 minutes, and then she puts you on mute. So that's my
Look, Jordan, I'm glad you recognize that. But I want to say this, and I know we have a lot of ladies on the line. I want to say you have to know what it is that your mate need, because different men need different things. However, the gentlemen that are on the phone tonight, they've made some really important comments about respect is important. Respect was number one for both of them. And so don't just think because you have some good tricks, you know, some sexual tricks that you learned in college and your girlfriend told you, girl, try this, this will turn him out. Don't just think that it's the sex. It's really all about the respect. And respect can go from one gamut to the next. And so you need to have that conversation with your mate about what respect looks like to him. So I just want to share that. And what you have to say on that, JBL?
Well, you know, this respect stuff is really huge, which really has me want to ask this question then, because I'm hearing respect then sex. So then, fellas, how does disrespectful behavior affect your sexual desire then?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll let you. You're breaking up in this, and I can barely hear the question.
Oh, sorry. How does disrespectful behavior? How does disrespectful behavior affect your sexual desire?
Right. You want to go, Jordan, or you want me to go?
Let me hit this one first, but let me hit this one first. Let me hit this one first.
He probably gonna say the same thing I'm gonna say. So
you know I am. No, I am. But, okay, so disrespectful broad, a disrespectful person or disrespect in a relationship, it's not going to go far. You know, it's just not going to, it's not going to happen. It's not going to grow. And it doesn't equal out to having good sex. You know, if you disrespect a person, just imagine you just laying there and you say to yourself, I can't stand his, you know, and how are you going to have sex with that? You know, you're not going to, it's just not going to match up. And it's not, it's like oil and water, you know, it's just not going to match up. And that's, you know, that's something that is very, very important in a relationship, and it goes back to the respect part. You need to have respect, and because if there's no respect, there's no good sex. It's just sex. The person either laying there or the guy is trying to relieve himself in record time just to get out of there. You know what I mean? So, you know, in order to have, if you're going to have respect, you're going to have some good sex. If you're going to not respect the person, you're going to have some quick sex or some bad sex. So, quick sex, you know, and it's going to be real quick, you know, especially for the fellas. You know, they trying to get in, out, boom, and that's it. And it's like, you know, even with, if you go to a one-night stand or whatever, you're not trying to be with the person forever. You're trying to have some quick sex because you really don't respect the person, you know, initially, and then you're trying to get out of there. So, yes, if you if there's some disrespect in the situation, it's going to equal to bad sex. That's my point.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, what do you have to say on that, Cook?
Well, I would add to it that he's exactly right, and me personally, if someone doesn't respect me or just a disrespectful type person, you know, you see somebody on TV or wherever it's at and say, that person looks pretty nice, it's that. Then they open up their mouth and nothing but trash flies out their mouth. Personally, I find that person just not desirable to me. So therefore, like the brother said, without the respect and then the not finding them desirable, there's no sex. At least at this point in my life, you know, I'm more mature now. Now, 20-year-old Cook, you know, I probably wouldn't care if you respected me or not, because truth be told, I probably didn't respect you as much either. You know, back in the day when you just kind of, you know, just kind of doing your thing, whatever, you know, it wasn't really about respect then, but we're talking about wives, you know, or someone's possibility of being a wife, you know, a husband, whatnot. So if someone doesn't respect me, I just have no desire for them. I just can't do it. I'm sure it's pride, and that's fine, but my pride won't let me do it if you disrespect me.
Mm. Wow. Okay. What I heard someone else, another man say, that a disrespectful wife can't be trusted because he doesn't know what she's going to do. And
right.
So that's really what I'm present to is, that disrespect is huge. Ladies, I hope you're hearing and getting this. We really need to learn how to tame our tongue, our behavior, our attitude. Dr. Lamar had the wonderful workshop about how to be a wife and not a knife. Dr. Lamar, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up because oftentimes I don't think that women, because guess what? Women fight with our tongue. We fight with our mouths. And men fight with their hands. And so the truth of the matter is a man will never be able to beat a woman in an argument, and a woman will never be able to beat a man in a fist fight. And so we have to be very mindful about the things that we say. And guess what? It's not just about what we say. It's how we say it. It's questioning their authority. And I know I get a lot of women saying, what do you mean questioning his authority? I'm an adult as well. But when you marry, you are saying that this is your head. And you're hoping, or hopefully your head will never make a mistake intentionally to compromise the safety of the family. Now, will a husband make a bad decision? Absolutely, positively. But hopefully it wasn't with the intent to mess something up. And I like to give this example all the time. For wives, what we don't realize sometimes is when we're being disrespectful with our words or with our actions, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Gladiator, and Maximus, the king, the guy, he couldn't beat Maximus, and so he tied him up and had his hands up, and he stabbed him in the side, and he wrapped him up. And so when Maximus went out to fight, the crowd didn't know that he was weak because he had stabbed and it was covered up. And I think that's what wives do. We create a weakness within our spouses with our tongues. And when they appear to be weak, we're wondering why. But what has happened is we've actually stabbed him and he's bleeding out.
Wounded.
Or he's hurting.
That's very good, Dr. Lamar. Very good. We don't even know we're going to injure them, and now we're sending him out to battle, and he's weakened, and he can't be the provider that we want, that we're demanding.
Absolutely.
I feel
I know, right? Look, I need to pass around the collection plate. No, I'm just joking. And I need to add this as well. Sometimes, and that's how we find ourselves in relationships dealing with affair. Because what happened is we send him out into the world where he's vulnerable, where he's where he's bruised, where he can't get the things that he needs in his home. And then some lady walk up and say, ooh, I can help you. And she helps. Not to say that she's a good match for him, but because she feels that void, or she meets a need, and it's probably just one need. And, you know, she began to take care of him. And that's sometimes how we get into these relationships where affairs happen. And I want to say this. And I want to be clear when I say this. I am not agreeing with affairs. But I am saying everybody that is a victim of the affair doesn't necessarily mean that they are the victim. Sometimes the person that is committing the affair can be the victim. And in my opinion about what I'm talking about, if you're married and you stabbed your husband like Maximus, then guess what? He would actually be the victim. And so we have to be mindful about how we're creating relationships within our home. So I just want to throw those 2 cents out there at you.
Yeah. Well, if there any callers who have a question, you can press 1 to get into the queue. And we're going to keep it rolling. Is there anything that you want to share before I move on to the next question, Dr. Lamar?
No, I'm listening. I'm ready for this next juicy question.
Okay. So here's one that I know as a woman, I have been guilty of doing this, and I know there are other women who are guilty as well. How does holding a grudge and bringing up historical mistakes impact you?
How has this impacted us as men? Or
yes. You, right.
Right.
Well, go ahead if you need clarification.
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
So, when
you
make
mean like
a mistake,
the woman? You mean as a woman holding the grudge, or as the
yes,
I'm
the woman
holding
the grudge? No, the woman is holding the grudge, and she then brings up a mistake. She keeps bringing up mistakes that you made, like, and it's something that happened in the past, and you thought you done got beyond it. And then 2 years later, she's bringing up that thing that happened.
Right. Well, it's kind of one of them things like no one wants to hear, no one wants to hear that you're doing a bad job. You know, what you did, just think about your job right now or the job you had before. If your supervisor came to you and said, Dr. Lamar, we appreciate what you're doing, but you're not doing a good job right now. Okay, you don't want to hear that, let alone hear it, you know, a month down the line. You know, it's like if someone says something, the way guys handle things, we want to get it, say it, you know, discuss it, and move on, especially if it's us messing up. Because guys hold grudges as well. It's not, you know, it's men and women hold grudges. But the person that's the grudge has been held against, they want nothing more than just move on, you know, with this subject. Like, here we go again, you know, kind of thing. And it's kind of like just say my job, for instance. If something happened last year and we bring it up again and we keep bringing it up again, how are we going to – we can't be productive. You know, same thing like a marriage or relationship. You cannot be productive still hashing something that this one person did wrong, you know, to stop production at that time, because all you're gonna do is tear that person down, and the person they're gonna fight back, they're gonna get angry, they're gonna do whatever it is, because what you're doing, you're making them feel bad, number one, and then us being emotional creatures, you know, men and women,
you're going to kind of reciprocate. Okay, now you're making me feel bad, so guess what? Now I got to make you feel worse. You know, you kill my dog, I'll kill your cat kind of attitude, kind of like a revenge kind of thing. And that's kind of what I that's what I think holding grudges in this I get it, it's kind of to hold a grudge because what you're telling this person is that how bad, whatever you did, this is how bad it hurt me, that I still can't forget it, you know. And most of the time the person just, we just want, you know, whoever did the thing, did the deed or whatever, they just want to move on, you know, and they can't understand how could that hurt you so bad, you know, unless it has happened to them. Now, if it's happened to them, then they get a better understanding. They probably can do some things to somewhat rectify what they did. But I think the person just wants them to really understand how bad you hurt me. I mean, I can say it all day long. Yeah, I get it. I know I hurt you. But you don't understand how bad. Yeah, I do. I get it. I really do get it. Yeah, and I'm saying I get it. But then when, if it happened to me, put it like this. Make it real simple, and I know I'm kind of babbling now. But on my every email that I send out, I have a saying that I thought about because I teach high school, and it says when you tell them, speaking of children, they forget it. Okay, when they see it, they remember, but when they do it, they understand. Okay, so it's kind of the same thing. Is that I see it, you know, I heard you. When it happened to me, now I understand. Until it happens to me, it's kind of hard to get for a lot of people.
Okay. Gotcha. So, Jordan, do you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I'll say something real quick. What it does, it stumps the growth of the relationship. It prevents you from moving forward because every time an incident happened, and it all depends on what it was that you did. You know, if it was something monumental, then you know eventually you can't get past it. And for that person, they're going to keep bringing it up. You got to let them go, or you have to move on because it's never going to be peace in her mind. You're never going to be able to do something to overcome that. Even time won't even heal it because 10 years down the line, if something, you know, like that happened similar, it's going to be brought up and it's going to be nasty. And, you know, as a guy, all you can do is, you know, just kind of just shrug your shoulders and apologize and keep apologizing. But, you know, it's going to stop the relationship from growing. So, you know, my answer to that is, you know, just the person, you know, y'all just have to move on. You know, it's not, I won't say that the person can't be trusted, but, you know, it's more like, you know, while we're together, if you're not going to move on from this. And, you know, as a man, you know, that's just my take on it.
I like that. That was very good because I like what you said. It stopped the growth of the relationship because you're stuck in that one, at least one person in the relationship is stuck in that one place and they can't move beyond. And this, and you're right, if there's something really huge, which I call deal breakers, you're right, that's a deal breaker. I'm not willing to move beyond it. We over. I'm out. Deuces. So
yeah.
I have this other question because a lot of times as women, we talk about our feelings a lot. And we often think men are not interested in our feelings or our input. So how important is your wife's feeling and input when you're making a decision?
You want to take it, Jordan?
I didn't even hear that. Could you repeat that one more time, please?
How important is your wife's feeling or input when you're making a decision?
Okay, I'll keep this one short and sweet as well. It's important. It's very important because, you know, ultimately we are a team. And, you know, when decisions are being made, rather financial, trip, just as long as we ain't talking about college football, you know, decision to turn the TV on Saturday for college football, I hope they leave that alone. But other than that, you know, It's important because we're a team. And the more you make the woman feel secure and the more she makes you feel secure, then you guys would be a good team. And nothing can stop you from, you know, having a happy and successful relationship. So definitely her input and me knowing about it is definitely important in our emotional success. And that's my take on that.
Mm-hmm. And I piggyback, I agree 100%. It's very important. It's everything. I kind of look at the way, like, most jobs I've had, in order for that job to be successful, everyone had to be on the same team, which meant that if something happened over here, you know, it had to be a discussion before we moved on, you know, kind of thing. And just the fact that the mutual respect is there, that you take her input to it, you know, and she take your input, even though, I mean, you know, at least listen to the input, you know, I mean, you may not take advice or whatever, you know, but just I think both people should respect the fact that, okay, at least he came to me, you know, at least she came to me and asked about it instead of just going out and buying the damn car. You know, you know, at least we had a discussion about it, you know, first, you know, kind of thing. So,
absolutely.
I agree.
Okay, well, good deal. Well, I want to remind our listeners, and I know we have a lot of listeners on the call tonight, if y'all have any questions that you guys would like to ask the men on the phone, press 1 and we'll get you into the queue. I also want to just let everybody know on the phone that on October the 1st, we will be having a tool house. And a tool house is a place where, and it's co-ed, so men and women can come. And a tool house is a place that you can come to get some tools for your emotional tool belt. Because oftentimes, if you think about it in this way, if you were a handyman, how effective would a handyman be with just one hammer? And that's the same thing in relationships. How effective would you be with just one skill? And so we offer this tool house once a month. However, we'll be offering it twice this month, but we have it on October the 1st, and it'll be an opportunity for you all to come and learn some good effective communication skills to put that in your tool belt, to be able to learn how to get your needs met. You can put that in your tool belt, how to be able to effectively learn what your love language is and what your partner love language is. So I just wanted to kind of share that. And if you want more information about that, you can visit my website or you can visit JD's website and to get more information on that. But just FYI, I'll give you the address just in case. It's 2801 Beaufort Highway, that's Northeast, Suite T30, Atlanta, Georgia, 30329. So I just want to share that, and we'll get into the next question.
All right, awesome. So, yes, please come out and be a part of the tool house. It's free, and here's an opportunity to tune up your relationship. So, next question. What are some of the things you wish your wife knew, or women in general, knew and understood?
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. I think you need to expound on that a little bit because I'm not getting that one.
So
it's
so
a broad question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
go
very
ahead,
broad
Dr. Lamar.
Question.
I know, and that's what we're wanting. Like, if you had a loudspeaker and women would pay attention, what would you want? What do you wish they knew and understood?
About
Dr.
you,
Dr. Lamar, you could about
yeah
about men, yeah, because remember this is about men and husbands. So what is it that you wish?
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's what is it that you wish women knew about men? Like, what is it that you wish women knew? Because a lot of times, you guys know who we talk to get information about men. We talk to each other, and depending on who, I know, right? And depending on who you're talking to, she may be just as crazy as the next. And or some of us don't have fathers in the home, so we didn't see an example of a man and what it is that men need and how important respect is. And so the question is, what is it, if you had an opportunity to tell a group of women, what is it that you would tell them that they should know about men?
Man, that's a hard one, yeah.
It's real hard, yeah. I think women think that we're these complex creatures, you know, that you can't figure out this and that, and we're just the most simplest of creatures that you know.
I
don't think most of us, we don't require a whole lot, you know. But I think that, good night, son. Good night.
I want to chime in real quick. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions is women think that men are challenging and confusing. And I don't mean to say this in a negative way, but men are very simple and slow. And I don't mean slow.
Wait a second. I got to jump in.
You didn't let me clarify, ma'am. When I say slow, I don't mean as it relates to academics or as it relates to mental health functioning. I just mean that they're even keel. Once you're able to meet a man's need, he will provide whatever it is that you need. They're not complex like we are. Sometimes we don't know what we need, what we want, where we're going. Men are totally different. However, you have to find out, and now this is my opinion and speaking from personal experience, you have to find out what it is that man needs, and if you're able to provide that, you will see a different person versus providing him what it is that you think he needs. So let me hear what you got to say about that, JD.
Okay, thank you, because you know I'm over here. So this is because I hear men say this all the time, that we're really simple creatures. And to me, what I really have, because I've been studying men now for more than 10 years, and simple you are not. What I'm really present to is that men and women are motivated by different things. And because we don't know what motivates men and they know what motivates them, they would say that it's simple because it's obvious to them. In my workshop, when I began to teach and break down who men are and what motivates them, it never occurs to a woman. Like I'll say to a woman, a part of my workshop I teach is how men plan. And usually women will say plan, men don't plan. That's because we're looking for it one way and it shows up another way. And because men automatically do this, it doesn't occur to them that we don't know that they're doing that. And when we run into a man's plan, we run into his plan. That's what ends up happening. We run right dab into it. Also, we don't understand criticism. Like, men don't know how to change a woman, but how you change a woman is criticize a woman. So thereby, if you criticize me, I'm going to change. We think that's how to change a man. So because we don't understand who men are and we treat men like they're women, but you all are saying y'all simple, but if we understood the stuff that you already know about yourself, we wouldn't have some of the problems that we're having with each other. So that's why I always take exception when men say that they're simple and women say men are simple and slow and all that. We don't understand them, and we're relating to them like they're women. Harry women who are misbehaving.
Can I chime in right quick?
Yes, please, because I don't got out of that.
Okay, it's, and no disrespect, trust me, but here's one of the problems. You asked a question to two men. I gave you an answer. It wasn't suffice.
That's a good point.
It was, they don't know what they need, you know, blah, 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 you know, this and that, it's this and that, you know. If all these guys are saying, you know, it's pretty simple, you know, these three things, these two things, these four things, this and that, why not just listen and just provide those things that they ask for, you know, instead of still trying to go into the, to the deep end and, no, it got to be deeper than that, you know, and this and that, and it's really not.
Jordan, what you have to say on that?
Just quickly, and this is just, I'm being real, you know, I'm really being real with this one here. And I think all the fellas out there, you probably agree with me. But I think men, what they want their woman to really know about them is leave them alone when sports is on. Just leave them alone. Don't touch the remote. Don't come and bother me. Please. You know, because it's going to be like, wah, 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 wah. You know, baby, can you go to the store and give me, wah, 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 wah. And we're not understanding that. It's the, we're looking for that next play. We want the team to get the first down. So just please, ladies, when sports is on, basketball, football, just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. That's what we want you to know about. Leave us the hell alone. That's it. That's my take on that.
Wow.
Jordan, that was priceless. Because it wouldn't occur to me to leave you alone. Why would I leave you alone? It's just a football game.
You keep bothering me and just you all on my neck and you're not giving me my legal space of 5 feet, you know. Just leave me alone. Just go somewhere. Don't you got something to do? Call Shirley or somebody. Just leave. Listen, the game is on. Like, brother, and you know what I'm talking about, boy. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. And I'm telling you, all the guys out there in radio land, they know. Leave me alone. That's it. All that other stuff that y'all talking about,
right.
It's cool.
Right.
But I'm just keeping it real. Leave me alone when the sports is on. That's all.
What if your lady likes sports? What if she enjoys football or basketball? Can she come and sit in there with you and watch?
Oh, that makes me, man, that's a dream girl right there. Somebody
right.
Knew football or basketball just as well as me? What?
Right.
And can make a cheese sandwich? Man, come on. Come on now. Come on. That's a dream girl. But for the non-sports women, leave us alone, please. Just leave us alone. All sports women, if you want to be welcome to the game, if you want to learn the game, but we're going to probably have to learn that on, like, Monday or something because, you know, during the game, I just can't teach you. You're going to have to know or take an internet class or something, but you can't. I need to be left alone. So that's my take on that.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you all so much. I know, right? I want to thank you all so much for joining us tonight. You guys have answered a lot of questions. I'm hoping that the information that you've shared has been well taken. And I'm assuming we didn't have any questions from any of our callers or any of the people that are listening in Radio Land, as you call it, Jordan. And so I just wanted to take this time to just tell you all thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for giving up your Thursday night. Thank you for all the things that you could have been doing and you're not doing, and you're providing this valuable and needed information.
Can I say something real quick?
These are my
parting words. Like right now, football is on, so I'm gone, ladies. This is my time to go. Bye.
Bye, Jordan. So, once again, ladies and men, thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us to find out a husband's perspective on marriage. If you want more information about us, visit our website, youareworthy.org or thewivesinc.com. Or follow us on Twitter. J. Deer Jackson, that's J-A-I-D-E-I Jackson, or Dr. Lamar is at The Wise Inc. And like us on Facebook, I am You Are Worthy, and Dr. Lamar is The Wise Inc. Thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact the Behavior Health Hotline at 800-715-4225. Thank you and good night.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Deal and Dr. Lamar.